the patient understands they have started a journey with you that will lead them to a goal of their smile that they want, and that's what they're being sold, then they at any point could walk away.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Hope you're having a great day where you are. It's a great day here in Nashville, Tennessee, recording live in the studio.
We got more recordings done today than we've probably done in a month.
I know. I do like a good batch recording when things are going well.
When are you feeling it?
When you're feeling it. We've been, I don't know, hopefully you're enjoying this content. If you're enjoying this content, go on iTunes and like the number one dental podcast in the country.
Yeah, the
Millennial Dentist Podcast.
The Dentistry Made Simple Podcast.
Like this one. I think whatever you did to my focus on my TV messes up the focus. It's getting out of focus, which bothers me. Because hopefully y'all are watching this on video on YouTube and get to see all the new enhancements to the studio. There he is, T-Bone. Eric's here as well.
Hey there.
Eric may chime in. All right. Before we get super started, let's promote something, because that's what we have to use this as our opportunity to promote. What's going to be in June? What do we have in June that we need to get people to buy?
Well, here's what I would tell you. I think we need to promote top-line revenue. And the best and fastest way to improve top-line revenue is to level up your skill set.
Yep.
And if you would like to level up your skill set, there's no better thing to level up your skill set or better way to level up your skill set than with live patient dental implant training. So if you're new to dental implants, you want to take our tooth replacement therapy program where we teach you how to extract and graft, do socket grafting, and do onesie-twosie guided implant placement.
Well, that's June 17th.
Okay.
Through the 21st, by the way.
Perfect. Okay. And then if you are leveling up your skill set and you want to get into the world of full arch dental implants with overdentures and all MX type restorations, we have our Full Arch Express week with live patient therapy. And if you're like, hey, I'm ready to grow bone.
That's October 14th through the 18th, by the way.
Perfect. And if you're ready to grow bone so that you can do pre-implant grafting, whether it's a lateral augmentation of a ridge, or whether it's sinus grafting, whether with bumps and lateral windows, we have our sinus and GBR grafting week with live patient treatment. So
that's August 26th through the 30th.
So there we go. So we got solutions for you. Help us pay the bills around here.
Hey, check those out. This podcast doesn't work for free.
It does.
I guess it does. But
free to them.
Support us. Support this. Support this endeavor. All right. We have a kind of a tough topic today.
Yeah.
A little bit, but a really meaningful topic, because it's a reality. And I don't think sometimes the best learning experiences are the ones that hurt the most, unfortunately. And sometimes when they
should hurt.
Yeah. I mean, like look, one thing we talk about a lot is one of the challenges we have with coaching doctors is that if they don't have a problem, it's very difficult to go through change, because change is tough. Change is a hurdle. Team pushbacks, patients pushback. And so there's got to be some sort of pain point. We kind of got a pain point here.
I want to start with, if you don't mind, I heard this saying last night at your study club. I want to steal from Jason. And that winning is a great deodorant.
Mm.
And what that means is when things are going well and you're making money and things are just happy and you're doing the dentistry you like to do, covers up the smell of some things that aren't going well in the practice, things that can rear their ugly head at some point in time. And so when we're content and making good money and happy in our lives, we don't see things that are happening. And what we want to talk about today is how and why are we losing cases to other dentists? And the winning, because we're doing well, is easy to miss that. I bring this up. I don't know if I shared this with you, Sully, but I bring this up because in the last 3 weeks, I've gotten 4 notices from other offices requesting records of longtime patients. Not, I don't want to say of patients of my practice.
That patients you didn't expect to lose.
Some of them have done some nice cosmetic dentistry over the years. So it's a punch in the face. It's a kick in the gut or whatever. I don't know, whatever sayings you want to do. And so I just want to talk about why this happens. And, you know, some of it's okay that, I mean, it's part of the game. It's part of what happens. But what can we do about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of had a mentality of like whenever records get requested from another office, like I want to know about it.
Yep.
Right. Like I want them to come to me, let me know, you know, who the office is, what the patient was, and if there was any sort of like intel that they had on what was going on. Because I don't look at this as like negatively, like I need to go call the patient and like beg them to come back. I look at everything as this is an example that I want to prevent future examples. I don't want to solve this problem. I just want to solve the future problems. And so I really want to look internally at like, what was the cause of how this happened? So this happened, and we obviously kind of have a unique experience just doing this. And then obviously we do a lot of marketing to bring in certain patients. And so just this week, we had a patient who came in from another office. And look, the majority of the patients that we see for these big cases are, they're either price shopping or they're confidence shopping. They know they want to fix something.
Yeah, most of them are second opinions.
Yes, yes.
So that means they've seen some other dentist or done some level of research when they get to this point.
And I like to use those as opportunities too to like ask those patients questions like, hey, why didn't you move forward? Like, what was the holdup? Was it their plan that you didn't like? They didn't hear you. And a lot of times it's different examples, but this one specifically seemed to be some level of like a systematic problem. And so
when you mean systematic, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
When we mean systematic, what we're really talking about here is it's one thing if you're a dick to a patient or you have a bad day.
Or dentist, something didn't go well. Yeah, like, that happens.
That happens. That's part of work. Okay. But when there's a systemic issue, what we mean is it's 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 doesn't mean you had a bad day. That means there's something just not going right in your practice. And many of us, I remember working with a laboratory once, and I asked the laboratory, I said, what do you guys do about customers that leave? He goes, we don't mind. We get more new customers than we lose. And so yeah. That was his attitude. He goes, I know we're an average lab, but we're very consistent at being average, and we get more new customers than we lose. So that's okay if you're okay with that, but this particular situation was, this is the type of dentistry this dentist wants to be known for and has tremendous amount of training in. And when we lose those patients, that's the ones that really should hurt, especially if that's our vision, is that's the type of dentistry we want to be doing.
Yeah, so the patient comes in, and pretty quickly it was interesting to kind of hear, like, because we have good notes from the phone call, like the initial conversation. And on that phone call, basically, the patient talks about, you know, really kind of like wanting a global plan. His thing was he wanted to be able to eat a ribeye steak at J. Alexander's. You know, he was in pain. He thought he had a couple of abscesses. He wasn't sure if he was a candidate for an all-in-4 or not. He had had some other implants placed at this other office. So, like, that was the other part that was eye-opening to me, is this is mid-treatment. So two implants have already been placed. They look great. There's been two other bone grafts that are ready for implants. Like they're in the middle of in process of this treatment. And so we start asking more questions. And we're like, okay, so why things look like they're going well here? And at this point, we didn't know where the patient was from. Because he was like, look, and he led, that's the part that kills me, is he led off with, in hindsight, you know, I don't want to talk bad about the other dentist. I thought the doctor was great. I think he did good work. So that this even hurts more, right? Because then it points again to
A process issue,
right? And everybody wants these systems, in quotes, right, that we talk about. And so he was really looking for a comprehensive plan. So we do kind of what we do, which is we try to treatment plan very comprehensively, and we try to treatment plan with the end in mind.
Yeah.
And I really think that's a key component of this conversation, because patients don't buy the implant screw. They buy the tooth. And that seems so obvious. But if you don't have a plan for the entire process, that the patient understands they have started a journey with you that will lead them to a goal of their smile that they want, and that's what they're being sold, then they at any point could walk away.
Yeah, I want to take a step back for a second and differentiate between general dentistry and advanced complex dentistry. Look, in general dentistry, most of our dentistry is done one visit at a time, transactional in nature. You broke a tooth, I fix it. Hey, you broke four or five teeth, we're going to fix it over two or three visits, whatever, it's transactional in nature. But most of us are taking training to get beyond that. And then when we get into this more complex treatment, for example, tooth replacement, X, Y, whatever type of complex treatment it is, your patient is on that journey with you. They've become, you guys are kind of attached to the hips for a period of time and maybe forever. Okay, so you want to make sure that we're communicating with the patient the outcome. Okay, and that's what I want to make sure that everybody understands. There's a difference in general dentistry, and what we're talking about today is more advanced complex, or what we call emotional dentistry, where the patient's trying to solve, oh, he wants to eat at J. Alexander. Okay, I mean, has a very specific thing that he's trying to accomplish. So you have to help him see the vision of how we're going to go there. And everybody wants to be led. Every patient wants to see the big picture of how we're going to get there, you know, and we're not doing a good enough job of that.
So kind of following up on this patient. So we go through the process, we present the comprehensive dentistry. The treatment plan was going to be no differently really than what the other dentist had essentially treatment planned. We were going to add two implants where the grafts have been done. We were going to crown the entire upper arch to open up the bite a little bit and get him some length back. And then we were going to do one or two crowns on the bottom. And so this whole treatment plan in our office equated to $35,000, a significant amount of production of money. And, you know, my message to the patient, because in our office, like obviously when I'm trying to close something, I'm going to try to highlight what I think is moving the needle for the patient. And this patient was very open about like money wasn't the issue. It was understanding and having confidence in the plan. Yes. And so I said, look, here's what we're going to do. You're going to come in. We're going to sedate you. You're going to get to sleep through the process. I'll put in the other implants. I'll take out the other bad teeth that were taken out. We'll prep all these teeth. So that day, you'll walk out of here with nice temporaries that we'll 3D print. You'll wear those for a couple weeks, at which point we'll make your final restorations. And then at what point these two implants in the front are ready, which will take about 4 months, you'll get those teeth and you'll be done. And so what he saw was, I've been on this journey for a couple of years, is what it is, which it sounded like. And now all of a sudden, this guy is going to give me a plan within 4 months. This will all be taken care of. And he's basically promised me the smile, I'd be able to chew and go get my ribeye at J. Alexander's.
Let's go get EJ. So let's unpack how this has happened. So here's the reality, and we're not going to use names here. The dentist who started this case is actually more qualified than Sully in terms of the level of education.
You're probably right.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm right. They're definitely clinically more qualified in terms of their education.
Yeah, they're a great dentist.
Yeah, fantastic dentist, like an amazing dentist, okay? So what I heard was somewhere along the way, the patient didn't get a complete plan, and they were getting frustrated that every time I go in, it's like one next step, and they never felt there was light at the end of the tunnel. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and we obviously, this was a unique situation because, so towards the end of the conversation, the patient reveals who it is. And I just am like, you got to be kidding me. Because like, he's my buddy. And at this point, like, sometimes I can, you know, depending on what it is and how you can maneuver it back. And yeah, like, honestly, you should stick with them. You're further enough down the road. But at this point, like, that ship had sailed, right? Like, the confidence was lost. And so it crushed me. But then I was like, this also has the potential to be a great
coaching moment.
So I call him and I say, hey, I just want to be upfront honest with you about what's going on. And he responded so well, which is, you know, no surprise on his part. So kudos to him. And it was great because we get to walk through it and really for both of us get to explore a lot of these things that I want to talk about. And the first thing that we noticed, to your point, was that from day one, every plan had been the next step in the plan. Nothing was ever presented to him as a solution.
Right. And remember, so part of this is that patients want to get their problems solved. It is not about you being the doctor and giving them your recommendations. It's about the patient comes in with a problem and you tell them how we're going to get to the problem and how many visits, how long is it going to take, how many visits is it going to take, How much does it cost and how you can pay for it? I mean, it's pretty simple. So there's no painting of a long-term picture plan, because the patient might have said, I'll wait 3 years. I just want to know it's going to be 3 years.
Yeah, I know. And I have no doubt that this verbally wasn't discussed. Like I imagine that like the plan and based off the conversation I had with the patient, you could tell that there was an...
He knew some things.
Yes, there was enough conversation that because he was like, the dentist had told me that I couldn't get the implants restored until I did all my top teeth. And like, so he was tracking on some level with what the proposed treatment plan was going to be.
So what that tells me, Sully, is that it's what that reminds me of and tells me is that how important it is to have a written game plan for the patient. So for example, when a coach is putting together a game plan for a football game, they put together a game plan to win. They don't say, let's just put a game plan together for the first three plays and then we'll figure it out.
Yep.
You know, they put a game plan together for the whole, how do we win in this? And then obviously if something changes along the way, they'll adapt and adjust.
It's like the car thing. Like, yeah. Like, let me give you the invoice for the first three tires and then I'll give you the invoice for the engine. And then, yeah.
You know, and so in dentistry, but the root of this is busyness.
Yeah, no, I think...
One like it's busy.
I'd say busyness and accountability. I mean, this piggybacks off some of our other recent podcasts where my knowing him, I think that a lot of the vision has been painted, but leadership and accountability is like when I say, hey, we need to make sure we have written agreement with patients about treatment, that I then follow up and look ahead of my schedule and make sure those patients actually have written agreements. And so I think that's to me where the message was probably spoken... The vision's painted, but the busyness in the doctor does probably keep the accountability from actually happening.
And or the abdication of trust of team members.
Right.
That they've got you because they're sweet, they're nice, they got your back, and they do have your back. But sometimes they don't get the big picture. They don't understand how important this is. They're still thinking in the code and insurance mentality. And so they're thinking differently. Because they're focused. That's why I painted the picture of this general dentistry, which is what team members are unbelievably well trained.
Right.
Is hey, I'm going to present you your scaling and root plating. This time we're going to do two quads, so I'll present you the two quads. The next time you come back in, I'll present you the next two quads.
Yep.
And the next time you come back in, I'll present you the four or six week follow-up perio maintenance. And so the patient may say, you know what, if I had known it was going to be three visits, I don't know if I would have started this. Or they may say, you know what, why can't I do it all at one time?
Yeah.
And so it's just about being clear in the communication. So that's step one is a game plan to win.
In this case, it was not painted the full picture, at least on paper. And then there was not even a financial agreement in place for each step. That's the other part of the process.
So when you get into complex care, one thing, the patients deserve a written game plan of how they're going to win. In other words, how they're going to get their teeth, what that's going to look like. And the second part of it is we all, like the negative of not having a financial arrangement in is that we all have some skin in the game. The patient, they got to know how much things are going to cost them because they got to budget their life,
right,
or they got to set aside money, and nobody likes surprises just like you don't. But as the dentist, I've got maybe I don't have time, maybe I don't have money and wax ups or anything like that, but I've got time invested in planning this out and putting it together and making sure that all the parts and pieces and everything aligns, and I'll never get that time back. So I've invested my time in it and my expertise in it, and I'd like to know that I'm going to get paid for that time and expertise.
I didn't bring this up, but for all we know, like, he had already done wax ups, had sent off things, you know, had guides made for the next phases. Like, I don't know. We didn't get into the weeds in that much of that detail, but obviously that could be a part of it. And what was interesting is we talk about the need for everybody to get the financial menu.
Yeah.
Like how important every patient, regardless if they have money, not have money, because this was an example where, he kind of told this to me. He goes, what I know happened was the patient said money's no issue.
Yeah.
Money never came up as a problem. And so therefore, no need for an agreement. And so in the mind of the employee, the treatment coordinator, right? And so because money is not really an issue in this case. Like he's got the money.
He's
so Yeah, he's good for it. So
we don't need him.
We don't need the financial arrangement. I don't need to present financing options. I don't need him to see all this stuff because it doesn't matter. And
that's why you got to have a process. That's why we say we give the financial menu to every single patient every single time.
Yes.
None. There's no excuse. Every single patient, every single time, no matter how big, how small, how like one sealant.
And so this, in this case, maybe rare, but in this case, the lack of having one because he had the money is on some level what caused the patient to us to lose all this money. And $35,000 is a lot of money.
To everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, my guess is the guy probably says the money's not the issue, but didn't have an idea.
Well, what I will tell you is interesting is and even then he's paying it over 4 months.
Yeah.
So it's not like, he took an option on my menu to do this over. Yeah,
smart people do
over time.
Yeah. Smart people do. And so, you know,
you have a point?
No.
Because I have another. So then this kind of, this conversation was unfolding. And to me, the next thing I noticed was, okay, the importance of how every patient has to leave with the next appointment.
Yes. But otherwise they get lost.
Because this guy was grafted in January. The grafts look beautiful, abundant bone, like green light implant cases.
That means he should be coming back 4 months later, February, March, April, May. He should have an appointment in May for implant records.
And he says, you know, I'm calling the, you know, there's always different stories, right? But in this patient's mind, he's calling the office, you know, asking to get in, wanting to get things done. And I'm like, how did he not leave with the next appointment? You know, how is it?
It's as little as a follow-up. Like every time we do an extraction graft, we set our patients up for a 4 month visit to do implant records.
Yeah.
Follow-up/implant records. No matter what.
Yeah, well, when they close the case for like a tooth replacement therapy, they get all their appointments basically.
Best case is
all of them.
Yeah, all of them. But worst case scenario is, hey, you know, we got your extraction graft done today. Let's go ahead and schedule you today. Well, before they walk out, they get their next most important visit, which is their follow-up/implant records at the 4 month.
And I guarantee you, so many of you, if you already place implants, have all these patients in limbo land.
Yeah.
They've had the graft done. They're waiting on the implant. They've had the implant done. They're waiting on the graft.
Yeah, in fact, here's an action item that you can do to find out. Go through your software. Every software calls it something different. In Eagle software, it's called Money Finder. What you do is you type it. I don't know the grafting code off the top of my head, but you would go, which patient has completed the grafting code D3, whatever it is, okay, but has not completed 6010, the implant code. And you will see how
cool little feature
have done socket preservation but not done an implant in that particular site. And it'll shock you because those are people that are in limbo land. Some of them may have decided not to do it. In that situation, you need to reject the treatment so that you clean up your system. Some of them may be like, you know what? Nobody contacted me. Must not be that important. Life gets in the way. I'll deal with it next week. That's like my life. I'll deal with it next week, and next week is 3 years later.
That's a good little pearl.
Yeah.
That's a good little pearl.
It's very interesting, by the way. The same person that we're talking about is the person I told them to do this exercise 6 months ago. Because he was telling me, yeah, we do 6 grafts a month, but we place 3 implants a month. I'm like, well.
But this also goes back to this initial problem of we're not closing the whole package. We're closing the first step.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And that's okay
if that's what the patient chooses.
Yeah, if it's 20% of the time a patient's choosing just that. But, like, that's happening way too many times if we're not closing everything. So, again, and what that means specifically is our treatment plan and the financial arrangements that we put in place, whether they pay it all up front or with another option, is all going to be defined day one for the extraction, the graft, the implant placement, the abutments, the crowns, all the parts and pieces to get them to tooth back. That's all one treatment plan. And then only if and when, for some reason, financially, they're not ready to commit to that.
Let's talk about that.
Clarify there.
So when money is the objection, we teach what's called the FPD method.
I want to change it to FDP, by the way. We can have an open dialogue about it, maybe.
Sure. So the first thing is we go to financing. Okay. In other words, Sully says, hey, this $6,000 is a lot. Your team, the first thing they do is, well, let me make the treatment plan $2,000. And let me break it down. And I'm like, that may be where we end up, but I want to go to, first thing is, I totally get it, Sully. It can't be, I've heard this a lot, $6,000 is a lot. Here's the great news. We have a lot of different ways that you can pay for this, and we can make the $6,000 as low as $100 a month. Would that work for you? Well, if it could be $100 a month, then of course it would work for me. So then we go down that path, and then if they get denied or they say absolutely not, I don't want to do any financing, then we'll go to the P, which is phasing, okay, and then we'll break treatment down, or then we'll go to the D, which is discounting, and then we'll discount to a case fee. And maybe we should be FDP. My fear in that is people will go to discounting as their first resort, and then they'll do this on general dentistry. Then it'll be like, oh, I need two crowns. Well, let me discount it. Like, I'm already getting $600 from MetLife. Like, how much can I discount it? So I want discounting be to the last option. But when we're far enough along in coaching people and coaching team members, we can move discounting up.
Yeah, and my logic there is, I mean, obviously, I think one of the, this will get back into the financing, the F part of the process, but one of the things I think that is the bigger hurdle than patients not getting approved or patients unwilling to do it is that our team members are holding our patients back from financing.
Yeah.
And we've done this because we've trained them that, I hear time and time again, what about this percentage? What about the 10% I'm giving away?
Well, it's not even 10%. On average, it's 7%.
What, you know, this percentage of money I'm giving away, that's I'm already giving it away too much, blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to do financing. Yet then we're settling for an hourly rate that is significantly less than what it would be if I financed the dentistry. And this goes back from a very simple term. You know, if it takes you 1 hour to do 2 hours to do one crown, and it takes you 3 hours to do three crowns, your hourly rate is drastically different, even away, giving away 10-15% than in that. And so the mentality is just wrong, but we've taught our patient, we've taught our team members to avoid that at all costs. And then we've also, we've also taught them to, and this is a hard one for me because it's really unfair for us to judge the impact that dentistry can have on someone's life when it becomes more comprehensive and more functional in nature. Like I had a patient this morning who didn't get approved for financing, you know, and she just lost it. And because the impact the teeth have on her is it's confidence, like it's everything that she's lost. And she wouldn't care if it was 20, 30, 40% interest.
Yeah.
Because she just needs hope. Yeah. And our team, doctors included, a lot of times will want to judge for them and be like, oh, you don't want to do this because it's 15% interest on you.
Yeah, we can't. Why would we let them spend 15% interest?
And it's like,
they go spend that on everything else in their life.
Yeah, their one part is you can't judge them on the value that it brings. Like, who's to say that's not worth the cost?
To judge it.
It's not. And then second of all is, yes, you're exactly right. These same people, we think it may be silly to go get interest on a washing machine at Home Depot to do that for 24 months interest or you know, whatever the reason. But people do different things. So yes, we can't judge that. But that's my reason of, well, if they don't want to finance, I'm willing to do a somewhat of an equal percentage of discount if it's going to help that patient close everything today. Because part of this, again, is I would make the argument that if this patient that we're talking about, if they had committed financially to the entire thing at the beginning, I think they're still there and probably further along in the process.
I don't think this person lost the case because of your 3D printing temps.
No.
I don't think they lost the case because you're doing it in 4 months. I don't think they lost the case because you're using XYZ implant brand.
No.
Or XYZ.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
XYZ sutures or XYZ 12B blade. Just make it fun. Someone else in this building.
Some of the other stuff that may be said or not said. I do think it is. I think that all this is process. You're right.
It's a communication issue. Communication and process.
And it should be a challenge that ultimately, like, as we clinically level up, our ability to deliver more and less time is a reason why people buy as well, though.
Yeah.
So if you hear me say, like, oh, well, I don't like to prep the teeth and place the implant that day and the tip like that, that's not how I do it. That's fine. But understanding that may have a cost to... There are patients out there where it's not money, it's not fear, it's time. And for me to be able to be that efficient in that regard. Not in an overly efficient way, but that is efficiency there.
Yeah, you're being effective.
Being very effective and doing it not from my standpoint, but from a case acceptance and meeting the patient where they're at.
Yeah, I agree. So, look, I hope you guys, and here's the other important part of this. I don't think this dentist would have ever known they lost this patient if Sully hadn't seen them and picked up the phone and called.
Yeah, probably not.
Because winning is a great deodorant. And because this dentist is winning. This dentist is doing well. You know, but I know this dentist wants to do more of these types of cases and not more of general dentistry to win. Okay? And so we get so busy that we don't even realize what's walking down our door. And that's happening to me in my practice. That's happened to Sully in his practice. That's happening to this dentist we're talking about. It's likely happening to you. And that's why it's so important to lead. Okay, it's so important to lead and lead your teams and hold accountable the process. Because when you go to your team members and say, I want a financial menu on every patient, well, this one didn't need it, so I didn't do it. And then when you give them an inch, then it's 2 inches. Then it's a foot. Next thing you know, it's half them. Oh, it's a small case. We only do financial menus on big cases. Only on big cases when I think the patient doesn't have money. And then suddenly it's this judging game. And it's no longer a predictable, repeatable process. And that is, at essence, a leadership issue. We're not leading our teams. Maybe we set out the vision. That's fine. That's not leadership, in my opinion. Leadership is holding accountable the day-to-day processes and the outcomes, the effectiveness of what we want done in our practice. And I think that is a overlooked skill that we need to be working on in our practice. And look, if you listen to the second best podcast, the Millennial Dentist, y'all has to the first best podcast, the Dentistry Made Simple podcast, then you clearly want to be focused on leadership. And if you want to learn to lead yourself, lead your team, and lead your patients, there is no better program in dentistry than our 3D Business Mastermind. It's an amazing program where me and Sully get to work with you personally, understand what's going on, and help you get somewhere, help you get further, faster, some tough love along the way, some laughs, some fun, all of that too. But we want you to be successful, and we want you to do it in a way that doesn't come at the cost of your health, and to do it in a way where you can enjoy your life.
This was fun.
I enjoy doing this.
Yeah, this was a good episode. I feel like we could just keep going. I mean, the other thing...
We could do another episode.
No. But I tell you, but as we sit here and talk about it, it does bring to light things. Dedicated treatment coordinator.
I know what'll fix this. I'm gonna go to KS Institute, KSP Institute, and go take more clinical training.
Yeah,
because that's gonna make me get these cases.
Definitely won't do that. I think an episode on dedicated treatment coordinator is another one, because right now, like that, part of this is a follow up issue, right? Like, our team members are too busy too, and these patients aren't getting followed up with, and that's a problem.
Well, guess what you're going to hear next week? A dedicated treatment coordinator episode.
I like the teaser. We should do that more often. Normally, I don't know what I'm going to record. Work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.